of all liberation struggles in the movements that seek a world of justice, equality, and peace, that seek to dismantle the United States. I hope you seek to dismantle the United States. And if that isn't your politics, okay? I speak as if everybody has this commitment. And the thing is that you should. You should listen to indigenous people when they're telling you that this is the goal. And that not only is this the goal, but this is the starting point. Because I think Nick articulated this very clearly. Decolonization is the only thing that is going to save us as a species. It's the only thing that's going to save us as a planet. And everyone should just be on board with it. No questions asked. And I say this sometimes on the podcast, our Red Nation podcast, I'm the co-host of Red Power Hour. You know, like, of the most oppressed ass people in Turtle Island, indigenous women are like on the top of that fucking list, okay? And incarcerated at higher numbers, murdered at higher numbers, missing at higher numbers, higher levels of rape and all kinds of sexual violence and sexual harassment. I mean, indigenous women struggle so hard under the settler regime that is the United States and the way that heteropatriarchy ties so closely into that. And if an indigenous woman is telling you that decolonization is the solution, and also that there is real hope and that Palestine offers us, we said this in the speech, Palestine is the alternative path for Native nations. And this is because we understand Palestine and the liberation of Palestine is the tip of the spear, right? It is a righteous struggle, and it is so powerful that it has literally in 60 days changed the entire world. The entire world has changed. I knew it the moment that it happened, that nothing, and I mean nothing, for colonizers or for any of the good, humble people of the earth would be the same ever again. And we need to lean into that. Lean into the fact that colonizers are scared. Lean in to scaring them and making them feel uncomfortable, right? It is because we have power.
We've shown the world how to protect democracy and take care of our neighbors. And we are going to continue to stand up for accountability, for justice, for change. And when people ask me, what can we do? Well, you do that. You continue to stand up. When people outside our state, what can we do to help Minnesota? Well, now, with ICE agents leading, maybe you want to wait till the weather warms up just a little, you can come and visit our great state. You can fill up those hotel rooms that were taken over by ICE agents and go visit incredible places in our state where Prince got his start. You can go to First Avenue. You can go to the Mall of America. You can go up north or down south in Minnesota and see the incredible bike trails and beautiful places and Lake Superior, the most superior lake of them all. So that's what we want you to do. We want you to come to our state and visit. We want you to invest in our state. We want you to start businesses in our state. We want you to send your kids to school in our state. We want people to come and work in our state. Because we have shown the country and the world what we are all about.
Well, there's no drawdown yet. Coke and I went to Savage this morning. There's a guy parked outside a house for an hour, Illinois plates. He waved and smiled at us. But then when we parked behind him, he left. And we got word from some of the neighbors that he just came back about 15 minutes ago. So we're staked out. We are staked out here, here in Savage, and we're going to stay on them until they leave.
Back in Minneapolis, hearing Operation Metro Surge will soon come to a conclusion. That's news that a lot of people have looked forward to because this enforcement, not the operation, just the enforcement of it, has been traumatic. And trauma is something that we're going to have to do next as a community and people to move forward. My work sent out an email today saying that we would have more mental health sessions available to us, which is awesome. But everybody is going to need some help here. And I just pray that we can give each other the grace and kindness as we move forward and remember that some people have gone through such significant trauma. They've been in hiding. Legal American citizens for 3 weeks.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot. and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Oh, what can we say? Minnesota, ground zero once again, belly of the beast, cultural epicenter for American politics, and we cannot concede any ground whatsoever. I'm seeing reports that Governor Hochul in New York City now saying that the city or state of New York will not comply with ICE operations. Shocker. Shocker that more Democrats and more of these states and cities refuse to cooperate with ICE. And look, I know the Epstein files are the huge news. Don't get me wrong. I think President Trump did a brilliant job and sprung a trap here on the Democrats is what it would appear. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more as we get through the hour, as we get through the 2 hours. You got me for 2 hours. But I want everybody to understand that if we don't have a border, we don't have a country. There can be zero compromise on the border. There can be zero compromise on immigration enforcement. We've already started to compromise a little bit. You know, we're wavering. We wavered here in Minnesota. I saw President Trump say that he was going to, you know, start to scale back here in Minnesota. And as you see there from the cold open, our current senator running to be the next governor of Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, who is about neck deep in the fraud herself. I mean, again, back in 2003, Amy Klobuchar prosecuted a statewide daycare fraud case in the Hmong community. There's no way you can tell me she's been a United States senator, former district attorney for 20 plus years, and she had no idea where to point Governor Tim Walz and the rest of the state elected officials to find this fraud. You just can't convince me that's a real thing. Now she's running to be our governor. And is it just me, or does she have one of the most shaky and cracky voices that you've ever heard? Not only is her disposition, unbearably liberal, but her voice doesn't sound too good. I don't know how her health is doing. And I don't say that jokingly or to, you know, poke fun at her, because, you know, she may have a real health condition, and that's a sad and unfortunate thing. But these are the types of things that used to come into play when you were running to be an elected official. Just little things like that. You know, do you pass the sniff test? You know, can you stand there before the American people and present your ideas, present your points, present whatever it is that you wanted to talk about with some strength and conviction? Now, on our side, we have people, as you know, RFK Jr. is a great example. He is, you know, obviously has issues with his voice and whatnot, but he speaks so much truth. He speaks so much truth. You can look past any of the, you know, any of the issues with his voice or whatever the case may be. Plus, I mean, he's as fit as an ox. For a 60 plus year old man, RFK Jr. is a tank. He's a tank. He's what this country needs more of. Give me more 60 plus year olds like RFK Jr. and I think we'll be in good shape. Amy Klobuchar, not so much. Not so much. You know, and it's just, this country is being taken down by women. We have to understand, and we have to be comfortable saying it. Not all women. There are plenty of great women out there in our nation, plenty of women who love this country, plenty of women who have the right values and beliefs. But overall, we have a crisis of femininity that I do believe stems from a failure of masculinity. We've neutered our nation. We've neutered our culture. Even the immigration argument, you know, you think of the Tarzan motif. It's like, you know, a couple of European adventurers or travelers get lost in the jungle, and they have a little boy there up in their treehouse where they're doing, wilderness conservation, observation, or whatever they're doing there. I don't necessarily remember the story of Tarzan that well, but something to that effect, okay? And, you know, the two parents die in a storm, or in some versions of Tarzan, I guess they were killed by the wild. They were killed by the leopard in some versions of the story. And, the gorilla mom comes across little Tarzan and, you know, out of her maternal instinct, she wants to take little Tarzan in. Now we all look at that, you know, in cartoon and in story and go, aw, you know, how sweet, how noble of the gorillas to take in this little human boy. How noble. Sure. In theory, in concept, in a one-off situation. Sure. In a one-off situation, you take in the stranger. It's even when they use the Christian scripture as a way to justify unfettered illegal immigration. Yes, you are supposed to treat your neighbors and strangers with kindness. An eventual neighbor that strays on into your town or your city or your state or your country, yes, we should try and treat them with kindness, with hospitality. Now, hospitality has a limit. It has a shelf life. Yeah, we want to be hospitable to you. That doesn't mean you get to stay here forever. So that's lost in translation as well. But, you know, even the maternal instinct of the Tarzan mother, it's like, it's not how it really works. It's not how it works in the real world. Every once in a while, you'll get a dominant predator animal who takes on the little animal and keeps them as a friend or a mate. Not a romantic mate, but, you know, a friend. You know, a traveling partner. You see that? Certain instances in the animal kingdom. Usually, even that mama gorilla is going to tear that little kid limb from limb. Gruesome as it may sound, that's the way the world works. That's the way nature works. I don't know. I think we've just gone overboard with this, you know, we have empathomania. We're manic with empathy. Suicidal empathy. Everybody can come live in our country. Amy, Hochul, Mayor Johnson, Pritzker. Not to mention you have the audacity to suggest that we're fascists for trying to uphold the border when in reality there is no greater example of fascism in recent American history than the unprecedented authoritarianism that we saw when it came to vaccine mandates. And I think our culture, our country moves so fast from one story to the next. You know, even the Epstein thing. And I know we're going to talk about it later on. And, you know, it is what we all thought it was. It is exactly what we all thought it was. A man who was obviously central to a number of intelligence operations spread across the entire world. And as such, in a way, you know, it's like a Russian doll. You know, there is no bottom to the pit. There's all the information, you know, they can say, yes, the unredacted files are coming out. Got it. And as far as we know, and I'm not saying that what Bondi and President Trump are saying isn't true, but what I am saying is when you get involved with the intelligence community, there are things that we just will not know. There are some things that we just will never know when it comes to this Epstein situation. We know what we see, and what we see, we should be able to prosecute on. There should be indictments. There should be arrests for sure. If you were involved in anything sexual with an underage person, I don't care if it was in this country or anywhere in the world, I guess, you know, depending on what the rest of the world and their country's laws are. But in this country, if you're an American citizen and you were involved in underage sexual torture or even trafficking, you're going to be going to jail, or you should be going to jail. Will that happen? I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge. We would hang some of these people if I was in charge. And that, they say that's what makes me unelectable. Oh, you can't, that's too extreme. Oh, we can't be hanging people. No public hangings. Come on, Royce. What are you saying? Excuse me. Some public hangings may be in order. It's like this whole Guthrie situation. And I haven't even checked back in. Did they find the guy who kidnapped the Guthrie mom? I don't know. But when they do, they should hang him. You kidnap an 84-year-old woman and you hold her ransom, they should hang you publicly. Be a great spectacle. We should charge people admission. We should charge extra tax. Oh, it'd be a great business for this country. You want to talk about getting rid of property taxes? Here's how you can get rid of property taxes. All of the psychopaths from California to New York, the clear psychopaths, I mean, obvious, I mean, the folks who say, yeah, I did it. I killed all three kids and I cut their heads off. Yeah, those type of people. And there are much more than you would imagine. All of them, public executions. And the pay-per-view money that you would make, we could do some good with, for sure. Or we could fix some potholes. But hey, maybe that's just radical. Maybe, you know, again, I'm a Christo-fascist or whatever they call you. But I know one thing. What do you call those people? What do you call the people who are in these files, joking about child sexual torture? Torture videos. What do you call those people? So I call them demonic. I don't know what the secular humanists would call them. Maybe they still use the term evil, but I would call them demonic. And we need a good exercising in this country. But see, it's not lost on me that the most demonic individuals, the people who manifest the most damage that you could call demonic, are not alone in their efforts. They're not individuals who came up with these things all by themselves. They've been unleashed on you. They've been unleashed on you through the guise of a maternal instinct. Oh, this is, Mother Earth. We're all one people. We're all one race. Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, theoretically. Okay. We're not all the same. And that's what I want to leave you with, if nothing else, from my time hosting this show. And I'm going to keep hosting every Sunday until Alex says otherwise. And I'm very appreciative. Alex Jones is the OG. I still, you people in the comments who have the audacity to question Alex is just like, where do you get off? But I get it. I get it. It's not just the Democrats or the liberals or the leftists or the Marxists or the communists or the whoever. It's not just them. It's all of us. All of us have a certain jerk off, a certain level of, jerk off, do nothing, complain to our mentality. It's in our culture. It's seeped into our culture. It's just kind of an epidemic of people having more opinions than they have power. I don't mean corrupt, tyrannical power. I mean like power manifested in your own life because you're confident in the things that you've trained and the things that you've done and the things that you've built and the way that you think and the way that your thoughts are formulated. Power, real power. We have more opinions than we have power. And that's how you could abnegate your citizenship and give over your freedom to a broadly overreaching federal government worldwide, which is why the Republican Party is actually the philosophical, the right philosophical landing spot for our American political culture. Republicanism, you are guaranteed a Republican form of government, but Republicanism as a philosophy, it emphasizes the importance of the individual. The individual is important. The individual is paramount to the fabric of a society. And no amount of collectivism or egalitarianism or authoritarian and totalitarian communist government can replace the importance of strong individuals, especially as it pertains to the outcome for the collective. And you just get the sense that this maternal instinct that we have going is ruining our country, folks. And you can't even say it. You can barely say it. And they give, you know, they call it the manosphere or the bro something. I'm not even, I'm just not enmeshed enough in the, you know, in the digital world to know all of the terms. But the Andrew Tates and those types of people, they give them such a raw deal, such a hard time. And it's a lot of, I'm telling you, as honest as I can be, it's a lot of you Christians. A lot of you Protestant Christians have a serious problem with women. And I don't mean, I mean, like, you have a problem with getting run over. You have a soft spot for women that is not rooted in reality or logic. Certainly is not rooted in survival or patriotism or civic duty. It's rooted in the same desire across the aisle to have romance, companionship, to get laid. Maybe it's to stay married. Maybe you don't want to have to go through a divorce because you know the divorce courts and the family or marriage courts are going to hammer you. I don't know what it is, but I see it culture-wide. We have a crisis with this maternal instinct, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's out of control. So bad that it's almost unbelievable to me that any substrate of America's population would even believe in an idea like there's no such thing as illegal on stolen land. I mean, the idea itself is a non-starter. It really is. It's a non-starter. But it surely has gotten started. You saw what the indigenous woman said there in the beginning. She called for the dismantling of the United States. Excuse me, Miss Indian girl. How about you take you and whoever else you think agrees with you, whoever else actually may agree with you, how about you guys get together and you go to another country? If America's treated you so poorly, if it's so bad here for you, on some of these native reservations like here in Minnesota, God bless them, they got more money than Midas. Some of them getting paid $90,000, $100,000 a month. A month. I used to date a girl who lived on the res, and she was half native. She wasn't even full native. She's a mixed girl, mixed with native. She lived on the res, and she was getting $50,000, $60,000 a month. If it's so bad for you, feel free to leave. But do not think under any circumstances are you going to sell us some felonious sob story about the history of this country that would justify the dismantling of our country today. That, again, is a non-starter. A lot of non-starters out there. Anybody who calls for the dismantling of this country, of the United States of America, you call for the dismantling of our country, I have to say, with no equivocations, F you. F you. Especially you white liberal women. I mean, what do you have to complain about? You're living off the fat of the country. You're living off the fat of the land. What do you have to complain about? You have a completely warped economy. That's become, and this is a real sign of our cuckery. I mean, it wasn't by accident that we shipped the manufacturing and the hard manual labor jobs to another country. That was a sign of our softness there. We didn't like a hard day's work. We didn't value a hard day's work. A decision made by soft men to fatten their pockets, to widen their margins. And what'd you get? You got a culture that is financialized. You got an economy that's financialized, a service-based economy, and an economy that's, basically protected and based on the ability to remote control missiles and other munitions and ordnance. Not that we shouldn't use drones. Not that we shouldn't be on the cutting edge of military technology. I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm saying is there is an impetus. There does seem to be an impulse of propensity toward softer and softer versions of manhood. Softer and softer, weaker and weaker versions of what it means to be a man. And I can't help but think, God, we're going to get crushed by our enemies if we keep going this way. We may not even get crushed by our enemies. Again, China's just waiting for us to collapse. People have to understand, China, nation ruled by engineers. America, a nation ruled by lawyers. Ruled by engineers versus ruled by lawyers. We have an overly litigious country. That's why Alex Jones was sued to the tune of $1.5 billion, if it's not more by now, because he spoke his First Amendment opinion. That's a country that's overly litigious. Same thing with Mike Lindell. Same exact thing. Same thing with President Trump. $90 million. E. Jean Carroll. Another good example of a hyper-effeminized country. Effeminized country. Eunuchs. And you know, here's the real Herald. The real Herald, and I'm going to talk more about some other things in a moment, but I come just to talk to you real. This country is in need of just a real time, real talk conversation about the way that things really are. Here's another example of the crisis of masculinity, the failure of masculinity and the crisis of femininity. E. Jean Carroll. I always go back to the Me Too thing because, you know, we hop from story to story, from crisis to crisis, and sometimes we lose sight of the plot. We lose sight of the nuts and bolts, what really matters, the most important things, what's really crushing our society. The entire Me Too movement was one cultural shift to say any man who's heterosexual, which the indigenous girl also said in the beginning in the cold open there, she said the heteropatriarchy. What the hell is the heteropatriarchy? Any straight guy who makes it to a position of power, that's heterosexual. And the canary in the coal mine of the entire political landscape and culture war that we're in is that the feminist movement, the radical feminist movement, encourages trans women. They like seeing men dress up like women. They love they pretend that they're friendly. They pretend that it's all a wink and nod. Oh, hey, girl, I had another girlfriend. I could just treat you like one of the girls. No. It's a humiliation ritual. It's sadistic. They like seeing men dress up as women. They get off on it. They get off on turning a man into a woman. So in China, they just banned it. The whole deal. We're not going to play this game. We're not going to play this game. We love some communism and we love some Marxism, but we're not going to play this game because we got a war to fight in the future. And they're not kidding around about it. I think we are. And I love to see, you know, when doomsday hits and the war really breaks out, the bullets get to flying. I can't wait to see what some of these yuppie white liberals do in those moments. You're watching InfoWars, Sunday Night Live, The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast. We're talking culture war. We're going to talk a little bit about Epstein. I want to hone in on this China versus America because I think it is maybe the most important issue. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything we've talked about to a T is being vindicated right now. So we can obsess over the Epstein files or is Trump covering up or isn't he or you know, what's Todd Blanche doing, any of that.
Men that abuse these girls, and what does that mean?
But at the end of the day, it's 99% Democrats in there. It's the European elite. They're the ones that basically wrote the book on this crap. It's all coming out, and we the people, the populist Christians of the world, have been vindicated in spades. And that's why we've been attacked so much. So remember, regardless of what happens with different political leaders, different populists, whether it's Orban, or whether it's Le Pen in France, or whether it's Donald Trump here, regardless, we the people of the West, of America, Christendom, will continue to promote freedom and liberty and justice and the American way and expose evil. And at the tip of the spear in that fight is InfoWars. But regardless of what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com is owned by Bickley, and they have set up the Alex Jones Network as our backup that is absolutely critical. And they have launched the biggest sale of the year that runs until just next Monday. So I'm saying this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. And I'll air this later again as an ad, so you'll be seeing it later. That means you've only got 6 days to take advantage of this massive sale. Listen to this. We've got multiple bundles on the side of our best-selling products. Limited time till next Monday at midnight. And your support keeps us on the air. This is an amazing value. Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle. Repair the gut, power the brain, the heart, everything. Bundle price, $99. Normal value, $209. Savings over 50% off. Includes bovine colostrum, the top. Private label, so incredible for your body, your skin, your hair, everything. Methylene blue tincture, we've got the best. Total game changer. You've seen the guests take it live on air. Even methylene blue fans say we've got the best. Methylene red is our proprietary system that doesn't have a bunch of methylene blue in it. It's got all these other supercharged nutrients that supercharge methylene blue, but also do a great job for your stamina, libido, energy outside of that. So if you love methylene blue, the methylene red, it's back in stock. All three of those together in a bundle at over 50% off. Then we have the Modern World Survival Stack. Rebuild, reload, defend. The bundle, $89. Normally $184. Over 50% off. Built to support the body, the toxic nutrient-depleted modern world. Energy, stamina, focus, everything. Shilajit Complex, the best Shilajit gummies, capsules. You choose. CMOS capsules, incredible. Very strong, concentrated Irish CMOS. Natural iodine, 93 trace vitamins and minerals, incredible supercharger. You want this right now. Incredible for your thyroid, immune health, metabolic balance, your heart. And then Atomic Defense is the horse pill of horse pills of all the known concentrated natural detox, super nutrients to detox of heavy metals, environmental toxins, and supercharge your body and gut health. Get it all right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com and be the reason we will always be on the air one way or another. But you love sales. This one is over. I think it comes at like 57% off or something. This is over 50% off. It's running till next Monday. So I'm cutting this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. So what is Monday? Okay. You got like 6 days to take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank all you that have gotten the products and all you that have been VIPs. You get huge discounts if you do that and $40 spent in the store instantly every month. But for everybody else on the fence, you're missing out. You think our info is powerful? Well, this is even more powerful. Get it now.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Look, this entire Epstein deal, I watched yesterday, and you guys may have mixed opinions about this guy. You guys may have mixed opinions about this man, but Eric Weinstein, one of the more interesting people in our recent chapter of American history. Very interesting individual. I know him personally, spoken to him on the phone a few times. He and I and Brett exchanged some posts and things like that on X a while back. But a very smart individual. Has my respect in a lot of ways. It's not because I agree with all of his opinions, not because I agree with his political disposition, but because I agree or admire the willingness to think critically, and even more so, the willingness to go off script in an interview. You know, there's a conversation that we expect to take place, that we a sequential nature that we expect a conversation to travel, and Eric will just go completely off script, much like Alex and some of the other people that I admire. But anyway, I bring Eric Weinstein up to say, nominally a Democrat. Got fed up with the establishment the same way we all did. And if anybody gets a chance, they should go and listen to Eric Weinstein talk about Jeffrey Epstein and Jeffrey Epstein's involvement with the Harvard Math Department and being attached to Eric's PhD work. Gripping stuff. I bring that up to say, who knows how deep this Epstein rabbit hole goes? I look at the whole thing and I think to myself, wow, there is an example of the highest level of intelligence, corruption, maybe in the history of our entire country. But then I don't even let myself go to that place because I can only imagine if Jeffrey Epstein is the cat that they let slip out of the bag, imagine how dark things really get. We couldn't even imagine it. Most of us couldn't even imagine it. Alex Jones has been saying it to you for years and years and years. People kind of listen to it as entertainment and go, wow, that's true. It's really messed up. Well, it's all coming true. It's all being proven true. It's really messed up out there, folks. It's a dark world out there. The reason I brought up Eric is, again, the buried leads. Eric said something in this interview I was watching the other day about the government not allowing mathematicians, physicians, to talk about science or math in an international context or even publicly as if it's a matter of national security and could be considered treason by capital punishment. And I just paused for a moment and I thought to myself, wow, huge issues for us to tackle as a country. Huge issues for us to tackle as a country. Unbelievable issues for us to tackle as a species. What's at the root of it all? Is it money? Is it power? Yeah, those things are great motivators, no doubt. It's really about cowardice. Cowardice. That's what's at the root of our issues. To tie back into the neutering of American culture, the real crisis in this country is cowardice, fear. Fear of being wrong. Fear of what people may think about you. Fear of losing your status. Fear of losing your money. Fear of dying. Fear of isolation. Fear of loneliness. At some point in here, we have to get back to the fundamentals. We have to get back to the basics. First principles. What has gone wrong in this country? We were never supposed to let these women lead. And half of you, the problem is half of you men out there can't even say it. If you're out there right now in the country and you just happen to like InfoWars and you're listening to it, you're a man, you're married, you're probably listening to it in your basement or on your headphones. Cause you don't even, and if you weren't and your girl is, your wife is sitting there listening with you, you know, the hair just stood up on the back of your neck and you looked out of the corner of your eyes to see how she reacted to me saying, we should have never let these women lead. Because women don't usually lead with logic. They lead with emotion. We know that. They know that. They know that. That's why a lot of your ultra left leaning liberal white women who have the perfect, sensitive, acculturated woke boyfriend with the man bun usually have some hulking behemoth of a man like me on the side. President Trump expressed that. He made a great joke in the last presidential cycle. He said, white dudes for Harris and all of their girlfriends and their boyfriends are going to be voting for me. It was a joke, but there's a lot of truth in most humor. But our whole society has become like this. And sure, I'm not making a comment about, you know, your sexual fetishes or whatever your romantic things are you do on the weekends, how you and your girlfriend have it set up. That's your business. But it's gotten so out of control that it's now seeped into our institutions. It's become a matter of practice. It's a practical matter to neuter the men. We neuter the men. We tell them that to be a man is unacceptable. Here's the greatest example, or another great example. All of your, this weekend is All-Star Weekend. And the Super Bowl, I guess, would probably be another good example. But it's All-Star Weekend, and it's always a huge social gathering of A-list celebrities. And none of them are willing to acknowledge the reason they're even at the event in the first place is because some hyper-masculine men, now they're trying to emasculate them too by putting them in dresses and making it seem like that's normal. But hyper-masculine men, apex competitors, reached the top of the athletic hierarchy through cutthroat and grueling competition where there are no participation medals. Sorry, Susie, Kylie, Kendall, Kim, Courtney. Sorry, but if it wasn't for the unequal distribution of talent and skill and size, an unfairness, a fundamental unfairness to human existence, you wouldn't be able to show up to the All-Star game and try and figure out what the next guy is you're going to ride into the ground while you reap the benefits of the gossip columns. You wouldn't have that option. Everybody following me out there? Am I making sense? Do you understand how this is what we have to, I mean, even the Epstein thing, and I know the Epstein, yeah, I can't make heads or tails of some of this stuff. I just can't. It's hard. I see the list. It's like Chris Tucker being flying around with Epstein. I don't know what to make of that. Do I think Chris Tucker was messing with underage girls? I wouldn't think so, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what any of these people are capable of, really. I see them on television. They're like, a figment of your imagination for the most part. I don't know what these people are up to. I do know one thing, that Jeffrey Epstein, it would appear, was constructed to touch as many people as he possibly could so that we end up in a situation just like this, where in his death, where he couldn't clarify things, or Ghislaine Maxwell or whatever other spooky stuff is going on in this intelligence operation, everybody's pointing at each other like a Spider-Man meme. Meanwhile, your elections still aren't secure, people. And as interested as I am in Jeffrey Epstein and how sick and twisted this international satanic cult is, I am much more interested in our elections being secure. Much more interested. Why? Because I'll tell you this. If we don't win, it's not going to be some faceless child, some faceless young woman that you don't know who becomes a part of the sexual predation. It's going to be your child. It's going to be your child in the Epstein-esque philosophy, the Epstein-esque perversion is already in your public schools. This is why I said, as much as I want to find out about Epstein, one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to sit here and take any of the pontification from any Democrats about Jeffrey Epstein. Let me talk to the trad Catholics. If I want to get a moral opinion about the matter, let's talk to some people that actually want to hold the sexual morality of our society. Let me go talk to some trad Catholics about Epstein. I'll be taking their moral opinions on the matter. But you Democrats don't have a damn leg to stand on. Not only is it obvious that you weren't interested in this when the Democrats were in power because so many Democrats were implicated, but even furthermore, you have constantly tried to smuggle in your minor attracted people psychological framework right there into the schools. So sorry if I think your Epstein outrage is the same as all your other outrage. Sorry if I'm not biting on that bait. Yeah. You can say you want to find out about Epstein and you like the victims. I just don't believe you. I don't believe you because I don't believe you about anything else. I just don't believe you. And as they say, it's hard for a zebra to change its stripes. Very hard for a zebra to change its stripes. You Democrats have built a platform on lying. And as far as that goes, a lot of you Republicans have built a platform on lying too. And by God, if there was a way for me to run as an independent and have any legitimate chance of winning, I would do it in a heartbeat because you Republicans make me sick. Not all Republicans. I don't mean the Republican people. I don't mean the deplorables. I don't mean the everyman out there who works a job and is a part of the broad working class and just, you know, is trying to make ends meet, getting crushed by the Fed. I'm not talking about you. You don't make me sick. But this Republican establishment, my God. My God, what have we done? What have we conserved? What have we conserved? And we're so weak. We are so weak. I think they just showed up on the screen there. Went to a Republican Party convention this past Saturday, and it was in Prior Lake. And I told them, if you people are weak enough to let the cultural epicenter of American politics watch the conservative movement run back towards the left, then you're the problem. There can be no movement back towards the left. Any concession of a movement back toward the left is going right back toward the insanity. We're the just right. We have to stand firm, hold the line. We're not the extreme right. We're not far right. We're not alt right. We're not fringe right. We're just right. We're just right. Most of the stuff that we had conspiracy theories about just ended up being genuine conspiracies. And after I was done giving a room full of Republicans a tongue lashing about Michelle Tafoya, again, pro-choice Michelle Tafoya, raised $600,000 in the opening week of her campaign. And oh, the NRSC loves her. Of course, the people who won't pass the SAVE Act love them a pro-choice woman who used to be a sideline reporter. I mean, it's like a wet dream for a rhino. It's like a rhino wet dream. It's the rhino archetype. If you get a bunch of soft-bellied, weak Republican men in a room, Tim Scott, Mitch McConnell, Steve Daines, Lindsey Graham, up and down the line, let's just, you know, pick one. Pick one. It doesn't matter. I don't have to get specific. Pick one. And you said, what would your perfect prototype be for a candidate? They would say, we want a woman who was a sideline reporter. So she's really a shell because, again, no sideline reporter lasts in a league or an organization, a place like the NFL, unless they say absolutely nothing controversial. So she's a shell and she can be controlled and molded. She'll take the money. And, oh, just as a slap in the face to the entire Christian base, she's pro-choice in the cultural epicenter of American politics at one of the most pivotal moments of our nation's history. When I got done giving the Republicans there in Prior Lake a firm pep talk about this political season, I was driving back home and I came past an intersection, a corner, and there were a bunch of communists out there with their signs. They were doing the old protest thing. And I said, drop me off right here, right now. And about 40 of them, 50 of them. I got out my MAGA hat. You bring the picture back up if you can there in the studio. I got out with my MAGA hat and I walked right up to him and I walked up and down the street around the corner. I said, you people are communists. We know exactly who you are. We know exactly what you're up to. Where were your protests when Joe Biden let in 15 million illegal immigrants? Where were your protests when an illegal foreign invader raped and murdered a young black woman and dumped her body on the side of the highway? Where were your protests then? Crickets. Oh, Royce is unhinged. There was a Facebook post. This really tells you that we can't negotiate with these people. A man who was filmed, and there were about four or five people that brought their cell phones out and filmed as if that was going to make me stop. Then they called the police. The police showed up and said, yeah, well, we can't really do anything. He's allowed to counter protest. And there was this one guy, he was a lawyer, said he was a lawyer, and he had his army fatigue pants on. I guess it's supposed to impress me that he served this country. No longer impresses me. Just like there are no more party lines. There's no, really no such thing as left or right. There are just patriots and nationalists and globalists, people who believe in having a country and people who don't. I don't care about your army fatigues, dude. I don't care. That doesn't impress me. There are plenty of people who serve this country who don't love this country, who don't have this country's best interest at heart. Look at General Milley. We go on down the list. There are plenty of people who serve this country who ended up being traitors in the end. You know, now the use of the espionage title, Edward Snowden, I don't think that he was a traitor. I'm just saying there's a lot of wiggle room there. But all in all, there are people who serve this country who genuinely mean this country harm increasingly. And so for this lawyer, he's filming and, he calls the cops and he says, "You don't have a right to harass us." That's what he told me. Walked up to the cop when the cop arrived on the scene. I walked right up to the cop. No problem at all. Not afraid of the cops. Why do I need to be afraid of the cops? I'm an American citizen. I'm an American citizen with rights. And I know my rights. I have a right to counter protest these communists. And every time I get a chance from here until election day, I'm going to be protesting and counter protesting you communists every single opportunity I get. Tells the cop, he says, this man has a right to counter protest, but he doesn't have a right to do it this close to us. I mean, the entitlement of these people is astounding. So let me get this right. Because I'm wearing a MAGA hat and I think differently than you do, I don't have a right to walk closely to your protest to voice my opinions, but you all have the right to impede federal law enforcement during immigration enforcement operations? This is how detached from reality they are. And they were saying Alex Pretty's name, and I just said to him, "Hey, listen, you guys are all trans activists. That's what you are. You're communists and you're trans activists. This has nothing to do with Alex Pretty, Renee Good. It has nothing to do with black people. It has nothing to do with immigrants. It has nothing to do with women's rights." And that's what we have to parse through that like Excalibur. We have to just pierce right through that veil. And I think, you know, they hang us up with that all. They hang us up with the emotional heartstrings at every issue. That's what the entire identity politics panoply is meant to do. It's meant to create a system of tranches where you get hung up in the emotional heartstrings at each tranche about something or another. You know, I got a friend or a family member or an old teammate or colleague that was gay, or their daughter was gay, or, you know, the guy who works on my yard is an immigrant, or, you know, my daughter has a child by a man who's black, or, hey, I'm married to a woman, so, you know, we gotta consider women's liberation. It's just meant to bog you down in illogic. They don't care about any of those groups of people. And as soon as that becomes the platform of the Republican Party and the conservative movement, we're gonna make some headway. It's gonna take a while, but we're gonna make some headway. But we have trouble doing it. And you know why we have trouble doing it? You know why we can't? You know why we can't just pierce through the thin veil? And it truly is a thin veil because you can see all the contradiction. The reason we can't just pierce right through the thin veil of identity politics and say to the American people, none of these identity groups are your real interest. It's because of Israel. Oh boy. People may not like that. Yes, I said it here on Alex Jones, Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. The reason we cannot pierce through the thin veil of identity politics in our political movement is because of Israel. People out there say, "What? Dude, with Israel?" Israel is the number one identity politic on the right. It's just what it is. It's what it is. I don't know how else to say it to you. How else do you want me to say it to you? How else do you want me to put it? That's what it is. Israel is the number one identity politic on the right. Say a thousand different reasons why. Doesn't really matter why. The point is, it is the number one identity politic on the right. And it just blows my mind that so many Christians in this country didn't cast a ballot in the 2024 election. 33 million Christians did not vote in the 2024 presidential election, yet they have complaints about how far this country is from Christ and the scripture, sola scriptura, and yet Israel's politics are more important to you than America's. You're very interested in, intimately interested in Israel's politics. If another country's politics are more important than your own, that would make you a cuck. I'll say it again, little baby ears in the back. If another country's politics are more important than your own, that makes you a cuck. You're a cuck citizen. You've been cucked in your civic duty. I love Israel. Any Christian loves Israel. You can't deny the biblical significance of Israel, the Holy Land. Hell, make the Middle East Christian again. That would solve a lot of problems. Make the Middle East Christian again. Oh, that's dangerous. Oh, not going to get any money from APAC saying stuff like that. Good. I don't want your money. I don't want your money. I don't want your approval. I told the NBA owners who are predominantly Jewish that 13 years ago, they brought me in a back room and said, yeah, just go along with the get along and we'll make all your wildest dreams come true. I don't think our dreams are the same. Sorry. I dream in color. Our dreams aren't the same. In fact, my dreams are in red, white, and blue. We don't dream the same. We don't dream the same dreams. So it's probably not likely that you could help me see mine come to fruition. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy it unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
can one guy be? I kissed her.
Welcome back.
She kissed me.
To the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White. This is the Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm just talking to you this Sunday. I'm just talking to you. I'm on my way out. You see, I'm a little dressed up. I usually am not dressed up, but I did just get a good set of suits here. So I don't know. I don't know. The more they try and stick men in these bell-bottom, bell-bottom hybrid dresses and high-platform shoes, the more and more I just – and I always love suits and menswear, and, you know, I have worn suits a lot in my life. When I got into politics, one, you know, some of these political events and, you know, political outings can be a little dangerous. Plus, I like to invade a communist protest every now and then. So suit's not really great attire for that type of thing. And even more so, I can't stand the archetype of a politician in a suit telling you to give them their vote. And they got the little lapel pin and the silk tie and the silk stockings. It's all very, permanent political class, over-credentialized, over-educated, under-intelligent, more information with not enough wisdom that got us in the crisis. I'm going to start wearing a suit a little more. Point is, tangent, side tangent, I'm on my way to a little romantic evening, okay? But I wouldn't miss Alex Jones for anything. Valentine's Day weekend, on my way to a little romantic evening, so I'm a little dressed up. I'm just talking to you. I'm just talking to you this weekend. If we continue to let women lead this country, it will collapse. It will collapse. The future of this nation rests upon the edge of a blade. We are so close. We are so close to the point of no return. And there are men now, as described in Scripture, the watchmen, who are on the tower sounding the alarm for a number of different reasons. And we can slice the atom a million different ways. We can bring up a million different problems. But what is the common denominator? The common denominator is men have been too weak to stand up to these women. That's the common denominator. Even the men who, and it's not even direct. It's like subconscious. Subconsciously, men realize that they're going to have a better chance in the romantic marketplace if they have a liberal point of view, or if at least they pretend they have a liberal point of view, front facing in the public, on social media. And so we get a warped sense of reality because our reality is going digital. In a world that's gone digital and everybody's trying to fake it, how do you know what's real and what's not? Especially with the introduction of AI getting as good as it is, we are almost to the point of no return. And the men who stand up to say, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second. Maybe we shouldn't go down that dark alley. That alley's a little dark, it's a little sketchy. I see some shadowy figures down there in that alley, you know, maybe untrustworthy, maybe a little dangerous down there. Yeah, not to make it, but as a motif, the white girl in the movie, the white girl in the horror movie always trips and falls. She always walks right into the killer's lap. I never even watch horror movies. They're frustrating. They're not realistic. Black people, we never liked. I never liked horror movies. You ever hear the stereotype about black people and with horror movies? It's like a black person wouldn't walk down that dark alley. We're walking past that alley and we take one look at it and we go, we'll walk around. We'll go three more blocks before we have if something is down that alley, if the address, the place we're going is actually down that alley, then I guess I'm just not going to make it. But we're not going. The white liberal woman is a perfect example. It's like, just come live in our country, Honduran rapists. Sure. I mean, why not?
I love knives.
I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm here to just tell you what it really is. We can circle the wagons. We can get real granular about the details. Just take it. I don't want to be your therapist. I don't want to be your coach, your life coach. Let me be your uncle. I think the 33-year-olds now they refer to as unk. I didn't. 30 seems young to me. Maybe that's because I always hung out with boomers. But let me be your uncle. You men are chasing these women, and it's out of control. It's completely and utterly out of control. There's nothing wrong with a great woman. There's nothing wrong with having fun with women. There's nothing wrong with pursuing women or dating women. There's nothing wrong with any of that. The problem is when you give your politics over because of your romantic pursuits. That is just, it's unconscionable. Really, it really is. It's unconscionable that's become normal in our society. The feminist movement is the most successful political movement in recent American history. By far, it's not even close. By far. The most successful movement in recent American history. Rivaled only by the MAGA and America First movement that we're holding together, by a thread. Holding this movement together by a thread. We better understand that. Because the mob rule is at our door. The mob rule is at our door. And some of us have a good idea of what happens next. And, some of us have a good concept of a post-civilized America. Some of us will be ready. I hope more people than not are getting ready, getting prepared. The best thing to be is prepared. We hope for the best. We prepare for the worst. The worst case scenario is this country devolves into full-blown civil war. A post-civilized America. That's the worst case scenario. Best case scenario is we just start to do things with some logic. And the logical thing to do is stop letting women lead. That's logical. Because when you let women lead, you know, it's like all these women I see with cats. And they let their cat go on outside and, you know, they leave their window open and cat's perched up in the window. You can tell I've, had my rounds with some pretty wild liberal women. Chai, no, this is from experience. This is not conjecture. It's not an opinion. This is an academic. Okay? This is firsthand experience. And you pull up to her house and she's got like a cat in the window. That's the first sign you should turn around and go back home. But okay, cats are cool. I don't trust them, but hey, if you like cats, you like cats. I got it. But they let their cats just kind of roam around outside and come and go as they please. And they think that's cool. They like be a part of the wild and some mystic, you know, bohemian fantasy they have going on that you become a part of. And little do they know, you know, cats, they end up with these parasites and their owners end up with these parasites in their brain. It's just like Alex Jones trying to tell you guys about the atrazine in the water and it turning the frogs gay. People were like, that's crazy. And then all of a sudden you look up and what do you know? There's too much atrazine in the water. Turns frogs gay. Wow. It's the same thing with cats. I get the same sense with cats. I don't mean to make it a segment about cats, but it's an example. It's like these women are losing their minds. Hand over fist. Losing their minds. And it scares me that none of them notice they have the same look. They have the same look and they have the same tone of voice. They have the same philosophy about life. But more scary, they have the same look. So why do you all look the same? Why do you all dress up in the hipster goth, you know, pink, purple, green hair, you know, borderline satanic symbolism? Like the Billie Eilish's, don't you all notice that you're a part, it's like you're a part of some interconnected global cult that doesn't even have any central organization. It's completely metaphysical. Completely metaphysical. It makes it really scary. Probably the most scary thing is the subconscious connection of satanic women all around the world with no organization whatsoever. Purely metaphysical. Purely spiritual. And that's what we have to, that's what we're in a fight against. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. When you see a Native American woman from Minnesota, a professor from the University of Minnesota, say, we need to be dismantling the United States, the heteropatriarchy. I just think to myself, in what world is this even appropriate to say? In what world is even appropriate to think, let alone say? We need to dismantle the United States. You live here. You live here. And, you know, not to be rude, but a lot of you Native Americans or indigenous people are a long way from knowing how to live on the land yourselves. Let's just be honest. A lot of modernization, you know, ran through the ranks of some of these Native American tribes and reservations too. That's why you own casinos. There's nothing more modern than a casino. There's nothing more modern than a casino, than a casino resort. So don't act like, you know, you guys are living in the backwoods of your ancestral land anymore. And what happens when the United States is dismantled? Where are people going? Where are people, what are people doing in the post United States of America? Because you don't even look in shape enough to walk a good 2-3 miles on a treadmill. It all sounds good, you know, it all sounds good in a vacuum. It sounds good in their head. And that's the problem with a lot of these postmodern liberal women. Their ideas sound good in their head. And because men want to get laid, they never stop them and go, that's a stupid idea. Where'd you get that from? A book of bad ideas? I'm one of those guys. I'll just tell a woman straight up, you're stupid, dumb, retarded. Oh, sorry, I've said a bad word. Saw a couple evangelical Christian conservatives on Facebook telling me I shouldn't use the word retarded. Are you retarded? Of course I should. There's no other way to describe it. There's no other way to describe a political philosophy that says everybody should be able to come live in our country and we should pay them. We should pay you all to come live here, huh? The murderers, the rapists, the drug dealers, the human traffickers, the predators, pedophiles, we should let them all come live here. We should rehabilitate them. We can fix them. Some shit you just can't fix. Some things you just can't fix. Liberal white woman, yuppie leftist white woman from the art quarter, from the art district. And there's an art district in every city. There's a, you see what I mean? They all live in the same area. It's weird. You drive through the area, you know, it smells like marijuana and kitty litter. Sorry, yuppie woman from the art district. We're not going to let all these people come live in our country. We're not going to let them come live in our communities. Where were your protests when the illegal foreign invader raped and murdered a young black woman and threw her on the side of the highway? Where were your protests? Where were your protests when an illegal foreign invader was drinking and got behind the wheel, killed a young black woman and her daughter? Where were you? You were nowhere to be found. It's not about black people. It's not about black women. It's not about women. It's not even about the LGBTQ. Although you do get a sick and perverse satisfaction of turning a man into a woman. And we know what that stems from, your hatred of men, the heteropatriarchy. It's why they're saying the quiet part out loud. It's not about history. It's not about what happened to the Native Americans. It's not about what happened to the natives in this country. It's about the heteropatriarchy. Do you mean to tell me? And just as a matter of inquiry, is transgenderism big in the Native American community? I haven't met one transgender Native American in my entire life. Honest to God, I've never met a transgender Native American. So what connection is there between the plight of the LGBTQ and the Native Americans? It's complete non sequitur. They have a non sequitist political philosophy. And these people are professors at our universities, our prestigious historic universities, the University of Minnesota, one of the Big Ten collegiate institutions in this country, 60,000 people. The University of Minnesota. And they want to dismantle the United States, the heteropatriarchy. Can we all agree what the problem is? Can we all just, for once and for all, can we all just take a step back from all the other things and say, you know what? Come on, guys. Really? What are we doing here? I mean, how long are we going to let this go on? How long are we going to let this go on? We're going to dismantle the heteropatriarchy, all straight men? What kind of sick and twisted? It's just, you know what? I don't know. I'm probably just a toxic man, suffers from a severe bout, a severe case of toxic masculinity. Maybe that's the case. But I'm a really nice guy if you get to know me. I really am. Just don't cross America. Don't cross America. Don't cross Christ. Don't try to undo the natural order of things. You can be as sinful as you want in the natural order of things, but don't try and undo the natural order and force it upon us. That's not going to work. That I could do a lot of things for you. I could be very, tolerant. I'm a very tolerant individual. I'm open to your point of view. If you think that the horoscopes and you know, the numerologists have a better take on life in the world and are more wise than let's say St. Thomas Aquinas or Aristotle, Jesus Christ himself, fine. Let me hear it. Let me hear what you're working with. Might be some good insights in those fortune cookies. I'm all good with that. People can think what they want and they can say what they want. You have a right to say you want to dismantle the heteropatriarchy. It's just hard for me to believe that any broad swath of the American populace would vote for that political worldview. And you wonder how we got a Jeffrey Epstein. You see, and that's what I worked my way up to here over the course of this hour and a half, is the way you get a Jeffrey Epstein is when you neuter your society, the predators proliferate. The predators proliferate when you neuter your society. When you strip the men of all their masculinity, all their courage, their natural born courage, their biological instincts, when you, when you culturate natural masculine instincts out of the men in your population, you end up with these weird people. Weird people in the intelligence community who would even have the idea that an international human trafficking pedophile ring is a viable option for intelligence gathering or blackmail. That's what happens when you don't have real men to say, you know what? If in order to defeat the Chinese or the Russians or the Muslim Brotherhood or Mossad, and whatever future conflicts are to unfold, we have to resort to international pedophile human trafficking, then we'll die. We'll die on our sword. We'll die on our cross. Unfortunately, our intelligence community selects for people who are socio and psychopathic. The official guidances have sociopathic and psychopathic tendencies. You know, what's the difference? What's the difference, really? So we all have sociopathic tendencies, do we? I don't know. Some of this psychology is a little pseudo-intellectual, if you ask me. I don't really consider myself to be a sociopath. I'm capable of violence, that's for sure. But I'm not sociopathic about the violence. I'm remorseful, even if I have to do violence. And that there is a difference. There's a distinction to make between people who have sacred honor, even in the context of war and violence. People who are sociopathic have no remorse for the violence they do or the violence they may have to do. That's what the Epstein saga is an example of. An intelligence community, intelligence agencies all around the world who have lost their sacred honor. And on the cold trail down losing your sacred honor, of course you end up at sexual perversion of the most unimaginable manifestations. Of course. It's not by accident. It's not a coincidence. It's not happenstance that you would land there. It's like take a right turn down Dumbsville and you end up in, you know, a sexual cult is what they ended up in. And it is. The intelligence community is a sex cult. That's what we're finding out. That's what we're finding out here. The intelligence community is an international sex cult. Some weird, freaky people. With too much power. That's the point. Some weird, freaky people with too much power. You can be a weird, freaky person. Don't get me wrong. Again, if you're 6'5" and you have hair on your back and you like to wear a spaghetti dress on the weekends, hey, you're an American citizen. Just don't think I'm going to call you a woman. And don't think I'm going to hold back my laughter when you walk into the restaurant there on a Saturday evening, you know, with a pink spaghetti strap, halter top, a tutu, and you got hair on your back and your knuckles. I'm going to laugh at you. And if you want to fight, then I'm all game for that too. Hopefully it's not a homoerotic fight, but I'm all game for that too. Just call the balls and strikes, man. We just need to start calling the balls and strikes on these things. We can fix this country. It's not all doom and gloom. We could fix this country. We could fix this country tomorrow. But Amy Klobuchar ain't going to fix this country. AOC ain't going to fix this country. The Chuck Schumers of the world aren't going to fix this country. The Mitch McConnells of the world aren't going to fix the country. President Trump, flaws and all, the credit you got to give him is at least he was willing, at least he's putting up a fight. And I know people are going to say, well, what about that? What about that? Look, the border's closed, crime is down, the economy is up. The border's closed, crime is down, the economy is up. Iran's the next thing on the horizon. Are we going to get sucked into another greater Israel endeavor? I hope not. I sure hope not. We're going to lay down some rolling thunder like we did on the nuclear sites? Hey, okay. You know, we saw already that isn't overtaxing. Again, I'll say it again like I said the last time we did it. I don't even know if I should. I don't like seeing us pull the Nimitz, and we didn't do it this time, but as a principle, I didn't like when we pulled the Nimitz out of the South China Sea. Our national mortal enemy is the CCP. Our number one priority is the South China Sea. We are an Indo-Pacific power. We are not an Atlantic power. Let the Europeans, and I said this about Israel already, let the Europeans protect Israel. Let the Europeans defend Israel. Let the Europeans, backstop Israel. It's their deal. It's their deal. First of all, the majority of the Israelis there are European in descent. They're European Jews, most of them. And it was Europe that forced them out of Europe in the first place. Let them pay the toll. What does it have to do with us? What does it have to do with us? Because a bunch of evangelical Christians are more interested in, more involved in Israel's politics than they are our own. If not, the Jeffrey Epsteins of the world, you wouldn't have allowed the Patriot Act. You wouldn't have allowed all of this surveillance state and intelligence community, nonsense to transgress your rights all along the way. The people who you elected to represent you, who smiled in your face, who smiled and waved with their stupid little lapel pins in their silk stockings and tie. They smiled in your face and they told you how Christian they were. They told you how conservative they were, but what did they conserve? They sure as hell didn't conserve your privacy. They sure as hell didn't uphold Christian morals or ethics in the intelligence community or the military. What did they conserve? Under their rule, under their tutelage, we have the greatest international human trafficking pedophile ring in known human history. That's what we got. You got to check your ranks. And I'm talking to you evangelical Christians too. Don't sit here and try and act like this Jeffrey Epstein thing has nothing to do with Israel. Has everything to do with Israel. Everything. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Failure of masculinity has led to the crisis of femininity. We're going to talk about it a little bit more on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man.
Him and Joey
lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. Let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
Certain facts that have to be kept hidden. That's fine. The desire of our government to destroy people who have no idea what they've tripped over because our government isn't good enough to keep its own secrets. This is an abomination. You cannot destroy your A-team.
Who are you referring to when you say people are being destroyed? Are you referring to people like yourself?
You know, if you look at, for example, Jeffrey Epstein, conducted a conference called Confronting Gravity. I don't know who Jeffrey Epstein was, but I would certainly bet money that he was a product of at least one or more elements of the intelligence community.
The CIA, the FBI?
Those are ours, right? Department of Homeland Security has some of the stuff. Geospatial intelligence has some of this, you know, it's a large network. I'm talking about people like David Grush. I'm talking about people potentially like David Fravor. I'm talking about people like Jake Barber. I'm talking about scientists like Leo Szilard. Imagine if Leo Szilard didn't know that the Manhattan Project was going on, or Jack Raper, a journalist who broke a story. These people all think that they're doing their jobs. I desperately want to know why Jeffrey Epstein knew so much about my work. And I want to know why he was connected to my graduate program. I was in the Harvard Mathematics Department. Jeffrey Epstein was absolutely connected to the Harvard Math Department. I want to know why.
How was he connected to the Math Department?
You're pushing me to say things I'm not going to say.
But well, I'm curious. I'm not trying to push you.
I understand. Yeah, yeah. But I'm just not going to do it. I'm saying that anybody who wants
But you say he was connected to the Math Department?
To the Harvard Mathematics Department.
How did you know he was connected?
You can Google it. You could Google it right now. This is not, I can point at all sorts of stuff that's hidden in plain sight.
So I'll take your word for it. And the assertion that I'm picking up on is that Jeffrey Epstein was planted in your world to keep...
I'm not saying he's planted. I don't know who he was. I don't know who ran him. He certainly was not a financier in any standard sense.
Really?
That was a cover story, yes.
The way that we know Jeffrey Epstein in the UK especially is just this guy who was this rich guy who had this island, who brought people there and then did these... despicable things.
Disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, that's the story.
Disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. It's called perseveration. He was a disgraced financier. What kind of a financier? A disgraced one. What was his name? Oh, he was disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. They perseverate that into your mind so that you auto-complete that in your LLM life. Do you believe that that's what Jeffrey Epstein was?
You met him.
Was he a financier? He wasn't a financier the day I met him.
What was he?
He was a weird guy who didn't seem to know a lot about currency trading. Claiming to run a multi-billion dollar FX hedge fund.
When you say a weird guy, what made him weird?
Same stuff I've said on Chris Williams. I'm not going to go back through that. Just my point is you're getting a different interview, right? So what I'm trying to get at is Jeffrey Epstein knew a tremendous amount about my work when nobody knew anything about my work. And he had a pipeline into me that I didn't understand, which is that he was connected to my graduate program. And you can check out the conference called Exploring Gravity.
And hosted a physical workshop called Confronting Gravity.
Confronting Gravity, that's right.
In March 2006.
Yeah, what is Jeffrey Epstein? Jeffrey Epstein is very focused on gravity.
Was it a gravity conference?
Yeah.
It was about gravity?
Yeah.
What the fuck was he doing talking about bloody gravity if he's a financier?
It was very important to get Nobel laureates and some of the smartest people on Earth to come to the Virgin Islands and talk about gravity. Stephen Hawking was there. David Gross was there. Lawrence Krauss was there. Lisa Randall was there right before his conviction. And I'm telling you, he was very focused on the Harvard Math Department. And he knew all about me in ways that he wasn't supposed to.
I have to be clear on my understanding of what you're saying. From what I understood, and you can say, Steve, I'm not going to answer that, whatever, but I just have to, because you've opened up a curiosity hole in my mind, sure. So let me try and fill it, even if it's the conversation I had with Chris.
I'll just evade you.
Fine. You're within the right to evade me, and I hold the right to ask, which is, what I'm hearing is you believe, and I'm just going to say it how I think it, is what I'm hearing is you believe that Jeffrey Epstein was not a financier. He was planted in some way to interfere.
He was a construct, is what I said.
He was a construct in some way to mess with the progression of physics.
Jeffrey Epstein, apparently, I think some, I'll tell you what I said. When I met him, when the meeting was over, I immediately called my wife and I said, I have just met a construct. She said, what do you mean? I said, this person is not who they claim to be. Somebody has constructed this human being to be something that they are not, which is a hedge fund genius. Somebody who could understand the euro and the yen like nobody else. Bullshit. Not true. I believe that whoever constructed Jeffrey Epstein was running multiple different programs through the same thing, having put in a large initial investment. It wasn't about one thing. If you build a mall, you don't just have clothing stores in the mall. You have a food court in the mall, right? You have jewelry in the mall.
Okay, bring me out. Bring me in.
You have all sorts of different things in the mall. Jeffrey Epstein was a construct of something.
That was the clip. You can go and watch the rest of the interview yourself. And look, am I saying what Eric is laying out there is the truth? Am I going to say what Eric's real involvement was with Epstein? I can't say any of those things. But what I can say is I'm doing my best to gather as much information as possible, because I do think the Jeffrey Epstein thing is important. It's just so convoluted that I think it's naive and somewhat reckless to jump to conclusions about it. And that goes, that's nationwide. I mean, that's worldwide, because this is a worldwide issue. How do I know? A 34-year-old man from, you know, Podunk, Minnesota. Who could even imagine? Conference on gravity? What are we even talking about here? An international human trafficking pedophile, supposed to be a stock trader, and he's holding a conference on gravity? What are we even talking about here? I have no clue. I'm still trying to gather the information, and I promise you, when I've gathered enough information that it's like I was saying about the women. I'm pretty sure about that. I mean, I'm almost certain that we have a problem, that we're letting too many women lead this country and maybe society writ large. I'm very confident about that from personal experience. It's like in my own life, in my own community, in my own state. But when we start talking about espionage at this level, all we can rely on is the information that comes out of the same belly of the beast that we want to dismantle and distrust. That is a very awkward position for us to be in as the American people. I find myself in an awkward position, because even here I'm reading some of these files and I'm going, well, how do I know which files are real and which ones aren't? I mean, as if there couldn't be fake files in the Epstein files. Of course there could. Of course there could. That's not an out for anybody in the files. I'm just saying, if you let yourself get so upside down with the names that are mentioned in the files, you lose sight of the fact that there was something going on here that I don't even think many people in the intelligence community have a good grasp of. And this is my honest to God take on the thing. Jeffrey Epstein and this entire operation is much deeper, much darker than we could possibly imagine. And the low-hanging fruit, and I say the low-hanging fruit because at the end of the day, pedophilia is a grave, grave injustice and sadistic thing to do. But it would appear to me that it was ritualistic piece of a much bigger plot and agenda for the rest of us. A ritualistic piece of a much bigger plot and agenda for the rest of us. And the bigger plot is what we have to be concerned about. That's just the way it is, you know, and people can use this like anything else. And here it's another way for us to, you know, to distract ourselves, more or less. Like I said, the elections still aren't secure. Well, we're going to pass the SAVE Act tomorrow. Well, okay. Well, early voting's already begun in some states. So we're burning daylight here. Now, I think the executive order's coming down. And God bless, again, the president showing that, you know, even if you disagree completely, you have to agree that at least for whatever set of circumstances finds us in the position we're in today in this timeline, President Trump is willing to upset the apple cart. And I'll say this as well. And this takes me to the very limits of what I can articulate without having wrote it down and kind of mapped it out. And I don't use any notes. I don't have any notes here because the truth really shouldn't need notes. But the higher level you get when you talk about existential reality, metaphysics, philosophy, it gets complex in there. But there is a real question that we struggle with about free will and predetermination that is sort of fundamental to all of our questions, all of the answers, the way we live. The way we live, more pertinent to what I'm talking about right now, the way we think about things, the way we think about individuals. I think we look at individuals as on a path, and the end of that path is already predetermined. See, we talk about people, and I say this as an olive branch to our fellow countrymen and women on the left. Your path is not predetermined in my mind. You could easily wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? Maybe we should have a border. Perfect. Now we're getting somewhere. Great. You could wake up tomorrow and go, you know what? Men really can't get pregnant. We should probably just dead that noise. Great. Great. Your path isn't predetermined is my point. Nobody's path is predetermined. And I think even on the right, we're getting caught up in this mania where President Trump does something we like or don't like, and all of a sudden it's like, well, that's it. That's the end. So much for, it's like, come on, God, seriously? We better pray. And if you think that President Trump is compromised or that he may not be in full control of this White House, that there may be forces inside this White House that are subversive, that are not in full support of the mandate we voted in, you better pray. You better pray that President Trump finds the discernment to steer this ship in the right direction. Because I guarantee you this, no amount of nihilism, no amount of cynicism is going to save this country. I'll say it again. You better pray he finds the discernment to steer this country in the right direction, because no amount of nihilism or cynicism is going to save us now. The only thing that can save us now are citizens with some national honor and sacred honor who stand at the ready to do their civic duty, to do their patriotic duty, led by leaders who still have sacred honor. Or maybe even who remember sacred honor. Who will pivot to sacred honor at this nation's most dire moments. And that's what we have to pray for. That's what we have to hope for. That is where the hope is. That's where the hope lies. That is the story, the story of the evolution of mankind. At each turn, mankind has faced pivotal choices with great moral and ethical implications, with great spiritual implications. Sometimes we've rose to the occasion, sometimes we haven't. Sometimes we did. The founding of this country, we rose to the occasion. Abolishing slavery, another time, we rose to that occasion. 1913, failure. Failure. Inception of the Federal Reserve, failure. World War I, World War II, failures. Post-World War II democratic liberal order, Cold War with Russia, failure. Vietnam War, failure. The internet. To be decided. To be decided. Artificial intelligence. To be decided. Great questions in front of us. And there are no easy answers. But an answer can never be for us to revert to the same sort of nihilism that we see on the far left. The same sort of nihilism that, because you might as well be the indigenous woman that we showed at the beginning in the cold open. You might as well be her. Let's just dismantle the United States. And there are people on the right who say similar things. They say it from a different street corner. They say it from a different perspective, a different vantage. But it's the same net result. You don't believe in a country. And more importantly, you don't believe that it can be fixed. You don't believe that we could actually have a society that functions and works. Of course we can. Of course we can. Don't let these satanic pedophiles discourage you from what we all know is possible. It's possible for us to have a functioning society. It's possible for us to have a peaceful and prosperous, productive society. We just have to choose it. We have to believe that free will, and yes, here again, I find, a huge concern with my own Christian community. Maybe we let Satanists take this country over. Maybe we let Satanists and communists take this country over because pastors and preachers make more money off of telling you how to live your life on the road to revelations than they do in telling you how to be an active Christian, the salt of the earth. Maybe it's much easier for them to collect your money and wear, $1,000 snakeskin shoes and travel around in limousines and private jets. Maybe it's much, much easier for them to rape you of your money, in that framework of human existence. Because if there's no such thing as sin, if there's no such thing as free will, then there's really no such thing as sin. If there's no such thing as sin, which a lot of Protestant Christians believe, hey, you believe in Jesus Christ, he already died for your sins. There is no sin. And that is a seismic divide in our Christian community between the Protestants and the Catholics. And the Catholics, you got a problem with pedophilia as well in the deep church. And we find ourselves, in our own sort of Spider-Man meme here in the Christian community. But one thing we know for certain is Dr. Octopus is on the way. Dr. Octopus is working, he's not stopping in the whole Spider-Man meme. He's acting out his agenda. We better get real clear real quick. Do we all just want to stick our heads in the sand and wait for the afterlife? Fine. If that's the way you go about things, I don't know. It's just never been my way. I'm a fighter. I'll fight intellectually. I'll fight physically. I'll fight until my dying breath. I'll take a good fight. I'll take a bad fight. Give me a bad fight. Give me a 2-on-1. Give me a 3-on-1. Give me the deep state. When I first decided to get into politics, I could have ran in a Republican district. I could have moved to a different state and ran, and I'd be in the House already. Give me Ilhan Omar. Okay. Republicans didn't want me to run against Ilhan Omar in the general. Fine. Give me Amy Klobuchar. All right. Tom Emmer didn't want to endorse me. He must like Amy Klobuchar more than he likes good old America First Royce White. I get it. He's got more Israel money coming out of his gills than a fish has water coming out of his gills. Fine. Give me the entire Minnesota Democratic Mafia. Belly of the Beast. I'll take them all on. I'll take them all on by myself. Doesn't matter. Thank God I got some help from the great Mike Lindell. Thank God Mike Lindell had the sacred honor to jump in here and say, you know what? I'm going to run for God. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the help, sir. Thank you for getting involved, man. Thank you for providing some backup here. Cause I feel like I'm in a nightmare. Rhinos to the left of me, rhinos to the right, stuck in the middle with you. And it's going to be a dog fight in this primary. Spread the word far and wide. Spread the word. If there's not a good example of our Christian crisis in this country, then the NRSC, again, putting up pro-choice Michelle Tafoya is a slap in the face to the entire Christian base. And it's a concession to the left. It's a concession to the communists. And does that surprise us? Does it surprise us that Mitch McConnell and the boys, Mitch McConnell and the boys would pull a stunt like that? That's who Tim Scott is. That's who Steve Daines was. They're running dogs for Mitch McConnell and the CCP. And they're subversive. They are. Maybe they'll start a Senate subcommittee investigation into me. Go ahead, boys. Go ahead. Tap my phone. I've said it already. You can't blackmail me because my naked pictures are a sight to behold. Release the files, please. Release the files. Maybe I should release my own files. Maybe that's the only way the mainstream media will even cover me. Because when you talk about the Federal Reserve and fractional reserve banking, the mainstream media, they seem to be toned. They seem to be deaf. You know, they seem to be, bad of hearing. You can't talk about fractional reserve banking. You can't talk about the post-World War II Democrat liberal order. You can't talk about globalism. You can't talk about the dangers of a proliferated surveillance state or intelligence apparatus. You can't talk about the Five Eyes. Can't talk about trade agreements, basic economics, trade agreement. Can't talk about trade. You can either cuck for illegal immigrants, unfettered, unlimited illegal immigration, or you can do the race bait. That's who they put the microphone in front of. Maybe if I just release my own files, beautiful naked images. We'll make them real artistic. I'll do it. Remember they used to do those Sports Illustrated, those beautiful Sports Illustrated spreads, and every year there was like a man who was like, you know, made of brawn, he was muscular, but there was like a naked photo shoot in Sports Illustrated of a man every year. Maybe I need to do something like that. I don't know. But one thing I can say for sure is that we've reached a point in this country where we better start picking real leaders real fast. Or else we're going to look up and President Xi and the boys are going to have their fist so far up our rear end, they'll be working us like a puppet. They're already, but it's metaphorically. I mean literally. We're already a tributary state. And they look at us as a tributary state. We don't make a huge turn here. We're going to become a real slave state. And they won't have to make landfall. No. The Mamdanis and the Jacob Frys. Mayor Mamdani and Jacob Fry are the running dogs for the CCP. The same way Tim Scott is a running dog for Mitch McConnell. They're all working to the same end. The fall of this country. We can stand up. There is hope. The hope is stop letting all these women lead. We can't be a nation of eunuchs. Stop letting them neuter us. It's been another episode. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless. God bless America.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should add.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
This is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works. It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to?
Just the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah, it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At TheAlexShowStore.com.
Unlimited power.
Volunteer power.
Ha ha!